With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's matches in the league with the editor of the Non-League Daily, Mark Carruthers. And we'll be catching up with the NPL Facebook group's very own James Hayes for a review of last weekend's match. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So welcome everybody to this week's show. Very shortly we're going to be speaking to James Hayes with a review of last weekend's match in the league. And later on we're going to be previewing this weekend's fixtures with the Non-League Daily's very own Matt Carruthers. But before that, one team in particular have had a very good week indeed. And here's the clue, we're now going to their social media officer. It's Richard Clark from Stourbridge. Hello Richard, how are you?
Hi Ben, fine, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. So it's been a cracking week for Stourbridge. Let's start from the beginning. There was a FA Trophy match on Saturday against a National League side in Braintree Town, and Stourbridge beats them by 1-0 away from home. A cracking result that.
Yeah, definitely. Getting a bit bored with beating National League teams now. It's becoming a bit old hat. I think we're testing out the theory of how many times lightning really can strike. We played really, really well. First 10 minutes were a little bit hairy and you wondered how many they might get, but we kept them out. And after that, really, we limited their chances in the first half, although they probably had most of the play. And after half time, we were probably the better team. We took the lead after about 56 minutes and we never really were panicky after that. It was just a good performance all round. Their manager, to be fair, interviewed after the game, was very complimentary. He didn't make any excuses. He accepted that they didn't deserve to win. So we were really, really pleased.
What's the secret behind Stourbridge this season? Because you do make light of it, the fact that you've beaten a fair few sides this season in leagues above in various cup competitions this season. Because the league form is a bit scattery, if you don't mind me saying.
I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, what's the secret? What changes in cup and trophy matches?
I don't know. I wish I knew, and I bet the manager would say the same. I think just a little bit of consistency is probably what we've lacked in the league. We've got good experienced players. We didn't have the best second half to last season, and the management and the chairman then made the conscious decision to go and find a good spine of a team. And we've got a good pair of centre backs, good strong central midfield, and a couple of really experienced strikers. And the big occasions, they've shown their experience, and that's been the thing really. I mean, the four times we've beaten National League teams, it's only really perhaps the Kidderminster game in the trophy where we perhaps had a little bit of luck and Kiddie really threw it away from a good position. But the other three games, Braintree, Dover and Kiddie in the FA Cup, we were the better team and deserved to win all three games without any question. I'm struggling to find an explanation, but I'm not really bothered about that.
If we could just mention that scattery form. I like that word. I'm going to use that throughout the rest of the show, I think.
It's quite apt, I think.
Yes. Obviously, Blythe Spartans 4-3 loss, which is not a surprise, really. Blythe Spartans been flying. Then you beat your local rivals, Hales Owen and Rushall. Then you get beat by Ramy. Then a 2-2 draw against Stamford. And then, bizarrely, midweek, you beat Salford.
Yeah, I mean, we had that patch starting with the Blythe match and ending with Stamford where we five games, we scored 12 and conceded 12 and it was a bit all over the place. And maybe that's our blip. And, if that is our blip, I'll settle for that. last Saturday and Tuesday night against Salford, we defended well. I wouldn't say we went out to be defensive, but we did defend very well, both games, midfield as well. I think sometimes when you expect to be under a little bit of pressure, against really good teams, you do set out and think, right, we've got to stop the other lot before we concentrate on our own game. And maybe that's being defensive or not, I don't know. But we just defended well, and the midfield defended well. And as a team, there are two good, solid performances. I think I didn't see the Ramsbottom game, but from what I've heard, we just had a collective off day.
Right.
Stamford and Blythe. We conceded two goals there in the 95th minute of both games. And maybe Tuesday night at Salford was just a little bit back for the drop points in those games.
Now then, that's the past. Let's talk about the future now. Now, Stourbridge at the moment are in ninth position, 6 points from fifth place Ashton United, who are in that remaining playoff spot. However, the key with Stourbridge all season has been the amount of cup games they've played. You're very much this season's Blythe Spartans, if you don't mind me saying that. Is it possible that you can sneak into the playoffs? I mean, you're in a very good position because people always say the worst place to be at this moment in time is in the playoffs because you can you're susceptible to a late runner coming up the rails. Is Stourbridge destined to be that late runner this season?
I think so. I'm happy with where we are in the league. I think we're doing all right. If we can iron out that little bit of inconsistency, not have the bad results like we did against Ramsbottom, I think we're well placed. We've signed a couple of players in the last two or three weeks who I think will strengthen the squad, a couple of experienced players. And I think we've got 20-odd games to go, 21 games to go, something like that. And if we can take 2 points a game from those remaining games, which is a tall order, but we're capable of it. I think we'll be up there. I think we've got a good chance of making the playoffs. I think the championship is probably beyond us. I think you probably see that's beyond Blythe and between Blythe and Salford now. I don't know whether anybody else can sneak in, but Salford were a good team and so were Blythe when we played them. I think we'll make the playoffs. I'm going to stick my neck out there.
Okay. And last question, just around back to the FA Trophy. On Wednesday night, Bradford Park Avenue had to come from behind to get an equaliser against Nantwich Town, finishing one apiece there. Mm. That goes back to a replay next week. Mm. The winner will play Stourbridge in the next round. It's been a good season in the Cups for Northern Premier League sides. Are you hoping for Nantwich or do you want another giant killing act, which you think is easier in the next round?
Which do I think is easier? Neither. I'm honestly not bothered who we play in terms of the qualities of the opposition that we're going to face. I think either will be a tough test away from home. Both teams are above us in the league system at the moment. So we'll be underdogs. We'll be happy with that. We've been underdogs before and coped. I'm really not bothered. I think it's a difficult game, but more than capable of winning it, Ben.
And we hope... I hope, and I know Richard hopes actually, that Nantwich make it through to the next round. And when that happens, we'll have a big preview special and we'll have a big love in. We'll have all the managers on. We'll have a group chat. They'll have a fight on air. It'll be great. It'll be excellent.
It'd be good for the league. It'd be great to guarantee one team into the quarterfinals. Unfortunately, we can't get two teams now through. So to guarantee one team in the quarterfinals would be brilliant for the league.
It's superb. And with the FA Cup runs that various teams have had as well, including yourself, it's been a great year for the Northern Premier League. Anyway, on that note, Richard Clark, social media officer at Stourbridge, thanks for joining us this week. How can people, if you're susceptible to Stourbridge Football Club, how can people keep abreast of everything that's going on at the club?
You can follow us on Twitter at Stourbridge FC or on the website or on our Facebook page.
Richard Clark, thanks for joining us this week on Evil Stick Extra. Much appreciated.
Cheers. Cheers, Ben.
So to the league now, and to review last weekend's matches in the league, we're now joined by the welcome return of James Hayes from that there NPL Facebook group. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm not too bad, mate. I'm not too bad. So let's discuss the league fixtures from last weekend. Obviously, the weekend, how can we describe it?
It was cold.
It was very cold. One match survived the whole weather. So, dear listener at home, I know some of you were getting excited about the weekend's football, about going to cheer on your Northern Premier League side and all that, and you were a bit, you know, disheartened with the fact the match was called off, but see it from our point of view. I mean, we did a whole show last week about these imaginary fixtures that didn't take place, didn't we, James?
Indeed. And
what a waste of time. So when these fixtures get rearranged, what we're going to do is we're going to put a repeat out of last week's podcast. That'll work quite well, I think. Go on.
Saying that, obviously, I've already seen the Whitby fans moans on that today anyway. Last Tuesday of the season, away at Colwyn Bay.
Oh, ouch. Lovely pebbled beach, though, at Colwyn Bay, just to say, if you're in that neck of the woods. Good for skimming, so it might not be a total wasted journey. Anyway, one result then from Saturday, Grantham Town 0, Workington 1, going to form, another good 3 points for Workington away from home.
Yeah, something that they needed. And even, and that being the only Saturday game as well, has pulled Workington level with Blyth and Ashton in the form table at the moment as well. Workington going to form there, I reckon, and proving it again, showing what they can do for the second part of the season. They did this last year as well, where second part of the year, you look a lot more devastating.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? Yeah. And that concludes this week's fixture review. Thanks for joining us, James Hayes, from the NPL Facebook group. Much appreciated.
No problem.
Ah, we're just kidding. He's back. Because there was some matches midweek as well, and I've not decided yet what I'm going to do about that Warrington Town Northwich Victoria match, whether I should speak to Andrew Simpson again. What do you think? Is that too much?
Possibly a little bit, but what a game that was.
It just feels like I should be speaking to someone who was at that match, because it was just like, wow, what happened there, kind of thing. 4-2 it finished anyway to Warrington Town. And obviously as well, Jim Gannon, I think it was the worst kept secret in non-league football, has now gone to Stockport County as per Stockport County fans' requests. Not really affected Northwich Victoria that much though, because they had a County Cup match, didn't they, on Tuesday, and they won that quite comfortably.
Interesting one about Northwich, because then we knew Jim Gannon wasn't going to stay more than 2-3 seasons.
There's unfinished business there for Jim Gannon, I feel, and that's what it all boils down to. But anyway, Northwich Victoria beating Runcorn Linnets 5-1 on Tuesday in the Cheshire Senior Cup. So who knows? But a good result for Warrington anyway.
It was indeed, and obviously that's the first division title race back wide open. Be interesting, again, let's see what happens in the next 14 days where players could be moving from Vicks now, because obviously playing on the Jim Gannon against who might be coming in could be a different story. This, we were all saying the title could have been well and truly done a couple last month in the First One North. If the game went to Northwich Vicks, could be blown wide open again now. So not just Warrington back in, but also Gloucester potentially as well.
Now, there was some league matches in the Premier Division on Tuesday night, a lot more than there were on Saturday. That bodes well for this weekend. Salford City hosted Stourbridge. We just spoke to Richard Clark, obviously from Stourbridge, mainly about the FA Trophy, but you can't escape that win there for Stourbridge. Salford City 0, Stourbridge 1, in front of 574 supporters. Justin Richards getting the 69-minute winner there at Moor Lane. Very good result that for Stourbridge, and a bit of a step back there for Salford.
Yeah, they're now 4 points behind, and they've lost the games in hand now. Looking forward, Salford have now got to play catch-up. It's not an easy position to get out of here, and we could potentially see Salford out the title race because of the last couple of results.
Whoa!
Not just yet.
She's a bit harsh. She's only four points at the moment. There's a long way to go. you mentioned that Salford have no longer got that many games in hand. Darlington 1883, they're certainly got the games in hand. They've got three games in hand over Ashton United, who they're 4 points behind in sixth position. They've got six games in hand over Nantwich Town, 4 points the gap. They've got four games in hand over Workington, 6 points the gap there. They've got three games in hand over Salford City, and the gap to Salford City is only 7 points, and it's 11 points up to Blyth Spartans with those three games in hand. It's not gone too well. I think they'll probably be a bit surprised that they actually got the match on. Darlington 1883 hosting Whitby Town on Tuesday night in front of 940 keen supporters, 2-2 there in that kind of a derby.
Great result that for Whitby Town, I reckon. I think that's looking. Obviously, we'll come back down to the bottom and say that the table in a second. But again, points dropped there for Downton, and especially Salford slipping up massively there, in that opinion as well. It's, again, more opportunity for Blyth to just capitalise on the position now. I'm looking at the points per game tally at the moment, and Blyth Spartans are walking away with it by a country mile.
So that's the top end of the table. Obviously, Blyth Spartans, we've mentioned them there. They're not. They haven't played in the last 6 days or so, 7 days or so. And down the bottom, though, it's become slightly interesting. I mean, Whitby Town, we've mentioned them. There's fight in Whitby Town. Whitby Town are now 1 point behind Marine, fifth from bottom place Marine. Marine do have loads of games in hand, though, it has to be said. Five games in hand over Whitby Town. But a good result that away at Darlington this past week. Also down the bottom end, though, We mentioned Marine. We also mentioned Skelmersdale United in recent weeks. They played Colwyn Bay, currently third from bottom Colwyn Bay. And Skelmersdale United, what a result this was. 4-1 away from home, beating Colwyn Bay, and a hat-trick for Christopher Almond.
Almond's a good player at this moment in time as well. He's, when Skelmersdale are playing well, you can always see Christopher Almond on the score sheets for them. But yeah, Skelmersdale needed that just to get that edge on towards Michalovic at this moment in time as well. So looking forward, Colwyn Bay, they just can't seem to get anywhere with it at all. It'll be interesting seeing them on Tuesday when it comes to Radcliffe to see what they can do, what their potential is in the future going forward for them.
And there were some matches in mid-table land as well. Rush Olympic 2, Ilkeston 2. A good result that for Ilkeston, I'm going to suggest, because Rushall have been quite good of late in getting 3 points. And Barwell 1, Buxton 0. That result sees Barwell lifted up to 7th position in the league. Now 5 points from the playoff positions. Buxton have now dropped down to 10th. It's a weird one for Buxton. It's a weird one for Barwell, really. Barwell have been very erratic since the start of the season, it has to be said. And so have Buxton. Perhaps everyone has in that middle pack.
Yeah. Indeed. Again, looking at the games in hand and everything at this moment in time, Stourbridge, especially after the result with Salford on Tuesday night, they've got the best potential going forward. If the season was to end now, Stourbridge would actually be in the playoffs on points per game.
It's now time for the Integro Dudeson League Cup Roundup. That's right, people, it's back. And, well, Tuesday night saw 4 matches played in the Integro Dudeson League Cup second round, and there were some interesting results. Where should we start? Let's just go from the top. Marine dispatched Ramsbottom United by 2-1 in front of 129 supporters at the Riva. That was a good result, that, for Marine. Spennymoor Town went down by 1-0 to Ossett Town. Not to be confused with Ossett Albion, of course, who are currently riding high. Ossett Town are not doing too well in Division 1 North. And so that's quite a surprising result, that, against Spennymoor.
It is. I mean, Ossett Town have picked up a couple of good results recently, but looking at the form between the two, you'd expect Spennymoor to have a good, to have had a good crack at that.
Witton Albion 1, Bamber Bridge 2, and finally Workington 2, Clitheroe 0, in front of 268 supporters on the west coast of Cumbria. And Workington there pulling out wins in both the league and the Dudeson. Do you think they're taking both seriously this year?
You got to, again, obviously, people forget there is prize money in the Dudeson as well. As much grief as it gets, it's a competition you got to look at. You look at some of the teams that are still in it at this moment in time. Two of them are going for the title in the Premier. Two of them going in First Division North. And then you've still got one or two of the stragglers who, let's be honest, the relegation lot, who should really be looking at other survival at this moment in time. I mean, you've still got 2 second-round games to play at this moment, including the one I said before, Colwyn Bay going to Radcliffe on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting cup to see because a lot of it is winnable.
So the draw has taken place for the third round of the Integro Dudeson League Cup, and all these matches will take place on the week of Tuesday the 16th of February, unless otherwise shown on the website at the time. I think tie of the round has to be Marine against Workington. That just shouts out a cracking game of football, it has to be said. Elsewhere, Buxton or Stamford, they'll be hosting Carlton Town. Colwyn Bay or Radcliffe Borough, they'll be taking on Trafford. Those two matches will be taking place next week, Colwyn Bay v Radcliffe Borough and Buxton against Stamford. Up for the Dudeson this year, Radcliffe against Colwyn Bay?
Well, it's nice to be still in cup competitions at this moment Absolutely. In time anyway, so why not?
Farnsley Celtic, they'll be hosting Scarborough. Ilkeston will be hosting Daventry Town. Nantwich Town will be hosting Bamber Bridge. Ossett Town against Darlington 1883. And Sutton Coldfield Town will be hosting Kidsgrove Athletic. Oh, that's a tie, isn't it? That one there at the bottom.
Yeah, and you'll come back to what I was saying before as well. Ossett Town getting a good draw there as well. Again, I don't know how many Darlington fans would probably travel to that on a Tuesday night. But again, opportunity there for a good gate, let's be honest. And again, Sutton Coldfield, Kidsgrove. Kidsgrove aren't exactly the worst team this season either. Mm-hmm. That game's going to be on at Sutton Coldfield. The only team to be playing constantly over Christmas and New Year.
Well, James Hayes, from the NPL Facebook group. How can people get involved with the NPL Facebook group and join the 160,000 people now members of the NPL Facebook group?
At facebook.com/groups/the NPL or on Twitter at the NPL group.
Joking aside, what is the number of people now who get involved with it all?
It is on Twitter at the moment 17,800.
Amazing, yes.
And then on the page itself, 5,188 members on Facebook.
Which, I have to tell you people, puts other non-league Facebook groups to shame. It's superb. So well done one and all, and well done to James and all the admins at the NPL Facebook group. You do an excellent job. Can I say that? Yes, you do. James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Ben.
So enough about the past, it's now time to draw our eyes to the future. And drawing eyes with me now, it's the welcome return from the Non-League Daily. It's the editor, it's Mark Carruthers. Hello Mark, how are you?
I'm not too bad yourself.
I'm not too bad either. Thank you for coming on the show and a happy new year to you and all the team at nonleaguedaily.com as well, we should say. So this weekend, there is hopefully going to be a plethora of matches. It's hopefully going to be a bit better than it was last week where just one match survived the weather. And let's be honest, is game of the day taking place at Nantwich Town?
Yep. Easy. One of the, well, it's a key game, isn't it, really, in the playoff and the automatic promotion push, a really one that I think might well produce a lot of goals.
So what we're talking about is Nantwich Town against league leaders Blyth Spartans. We've had a couple of correspondents in. From a Blyth perspective, we've had Lucas Martins, win for Blyth, nothing less, and John Haig from Blyth, hoping for a goal fest at Nantwich and Blyth win by the odd goal away Blyth. And Scott Dewhurst has been in touch to say 7-6 to Nantwich is his prediction. All goals scored in the first half, the second half, not so good. He actually swears, but... we're a professional show. What's your take on Blyth at this moment? I mean, Salford slipped up midweek. It's in their hands now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The thing is, the next sort of 5 days are probably the biggest of Blyth season. You've got, obviously, as you say, Nantwich away on Saturday, and then the welcome Salford City to Croft Park on Tuesday night. So I think if they can come out of those two games unscathed, then... you know, they're fully in control, but it won't be easy. Nantwich are obviously a very entertaining side. Scored, it's what I think, 65 goals this season in the league, and always capable of letting some in the other end. Blyth have strengthened and brought in a couple of players. Nathan Buddle coming back from Gateshead on loan, and Wilson Neeshaw, who was at Darlington as well. He's come in as a bit of cover up front, which they'll need because Dan Maguire's injured. Nantwich, you do worry about them a little bit with the Bradford Park Avenue FA Trophy replay on Tuesday night. You know, will that be on their minds? But at home, they are strong. It'll be a big test of Blyth's title credentials.
And we should say as well, the Blyth Spartans v Salford City match, which kicks off at 7:45 on Tuesday night, that'll be on Radio Northumberland, won't it? So it's... that's a very big game, and all non-league fans, especially if you're into your Northern Premier League and you're not at a match that Tuesday night, you should tune into that. That's going to be epic, isn't it?
I would arguably say game of the season. You know, I think it won't decide the league title, but if Blyth were to win it and move, you know, another 3 points away from Salford, it could be a killer blow. However, I wouldn't rule out Salford. You know, they're bringing in players now, obviously brought in Josh Hine from Chorley during the week, which is a big signing. So it's an interesting end of the season. It's going to be full of drama.
Did you say game of the season? I think you're wrong, Mark. I think this next one is game of the season. Stamford against Whitby Town, a proper relegation six-pointer this one.
It is.
Andrew Snaith has been in touch to say 4 points from trips to Nantwich and Darlington has been great, but no use then throwing it away at Stamford on Saturday. 3 points would be huge. This is a classic... I know it's cliche corner, but this is a proper 6-pointer, this one, for both sides.
Yeah, it could well be a game of two halves. You know, it's...
yeah, well done.
Just trying to throw as many cliches in as possible. Stamford, let's be honest, they're going to concede goals. 71 conceded this season, averaging, I think, they're around three a game. Whitby, obviously, the new manager in charge, and Chris Hardy, who's come from the Northern League, with Gisborough, where he produced one of the most entertaining Northern League sides, I should say, that I've seen with Gisborough. Had good runs in the FA Cup with them. Always play good football, and I think he'll get Whitby out of it. Slowly but surely, started bringing in a few players and just turning around the squad a little bit. I fancy Whitby to win that one, I've got to be honest, possibly by a couple of goals.
Right. Back to the top end of the table. We'll come back to relegation in a second. Salford City this weekend. They've got a very tricky match. They're hosting Buxton at Moor Lane, and Matt Joyce has been in touch to say maybe the Bucks need to book up their game plan. And that's good use of wordplay there, Mark. That's very good. But Salford City against Buxton, we mentioned Blythe Spartans, it's in their hands now. The pressure's on Salford here, and they could slip up against Buxton, surely.
Buxton are one of the more difficult sides in the league to play, aren't they? Because you never know what's going to turn up. They're very solid. They're defensively very solid. But they've also got, you know, danger men up front, the likes of Liam Hardy, he's joint top goal scorer in the league this season. It could be a shock, but I think it'll be enough. I think Salford maybe being kicked into gear a bit by the defeat to Stourbridge during the week, and I think Salford will get something there.
Now, we mentioned Blythe Spartans and Salford City. Early in the show, Richard Clarke said basically he reckons the title race is now between Blythe and Salford. I don't think you can discount Workington, because Workington, they're in a good run of form at the moment. This weekend, they're hosting Halesow in town. Rob Lloyd's been in touch to say, the long trip to Workington on Saturday for Halesow would be delighted with 3 points, but would take 1 point. If it is going to be cancelled, can it be called off before we travel, please? could they tell us if they anticipate a problem and have a pitch inspection planned? Well, you never know, Rob. You never know. But, you know, if your game gets called off halfway up to Workington from Hales Owen, you're not far from Morecambe, which is a lovely place to stop off and have fish and chips. Anyway, back to the match. Workington against Hales Owen. Workington, they've got the bit between the teeth now, I feel.
They have, as you say, quite correctly, in very, very good form. I agree again. I wouldn't rule them out of the title race. As I wouldn't Ashton United, if I'm honest. I think they're another team on a roll who no doubt we'll come on to later. Yeah. But Workington, always strong at home. They're a strong side. You know, they're always capable of scoring goals. They get forward well. A change of manager in pre-season, obviously, but it doesn't seem to have affected them. They've just carried on the good work that happened last season. Probably would feel that they may well have deserved to go up last year in the playoffs. But I think this year they won't make any mistake. They are in the title race. I don't think they'll win it, but I can see them going up through the playoffs.
And remember what they did last season as well, this time of year. They came up right up the rails, didn't they? And narrowly missed out. You mentioned Ashton United there. There's two teams on the fringes who possibly, especially Darlington, who could put a run together. Ashton and Darlington, they're both playing teams who are looking at the relegation dogfight at the minute. We'll start off with this one. Ashton United against Grantham Town. Over Christmas and in December, Grantham Town, it appeared that they'd had a renaissance and had pulled themselves out of it, but then they've started to drop again.
Yeah, you always worry about Grantham. There seems to have been a lot going on off the pitch and behind the scenes that, you know, I think the chief executive resigned in November, I think it was now. So there's obviously stuff going on there. On the pitch, it's never easy. There's always quite a turnaround of players with Grantham. They're a good club. It's a place I used to enjoy going. And I would like to see them stay up, but you look at where they are, it looks like they've got a gap. They've got obviously 9 points between them and Whitby in 21st. But, you know, Whitby have got two games in hand and Grantham aren't in great form. And I can't see them getting anything at Ashton. Ashton, as I said earlier, in good form. Again, always capable of getting goals. And I think that's a comfortable home win.
Now then, we mentioned Darlington there. Darlington, this season, they've been plagued by, well, match postponements, essentially, and not being able to get matches on. They're still in this. I'm going to suggest they're certainly in the playoff picture. It's a long shot to win the league, perhaps, but the gap is 11 points and they've got 3 games in hand over Blythe Spartans. So, you know, it could happen, but they've got to do better than draw against Colwyn Bay, haven't they?
Yes. I mean, obviously, would be held into a draw during the week. It's not going to be an easy game. You know, Colwyn Bay are scrapping scrapping away at near the bottom. But again, I think Darlington may well have just learned the lessons of that Whitby game. We shouldn't forget that they'd hardly played for 2 months.
Yes, exactly. That's the trouble, isn't it? I mean, Whitby at that time had a bit between the teeth. They're on the toes, as it were. Darlington sluggish, especially after Christmas, and it's hard.
I think I saw Martin Gray made exactly that point, saying they were just a bit sluggish. You know, you could tell that they weren't maybe match fit. It's all well and good. I know they played friendlies at their local 3G pitches, but it's not the same as an intense Evo Stick game. So I think Darlington will maybe shook off a few, blown away a few cobwebs, and I think they'll win that again quite comfortably. Obviously, Lee Gaskell's in great form since he signed from Ramsbottom, and I can see him getting a couple of goals and maybe a 3 or 4 nil win.
Now, another team who perhaps I don't think can be ruled out of the playoff picture. We spoke to them earlier. Stourbridge, this weekend they're playing Skelmersdale United. Been worried for Skelmersdale of late, but that 4-1 win against Colwyn Bay has probably relieved the pressure a bit. But Stourbridge, I mean, there's two ways of looking at this match, from a Stourbridge perspective and from a Skelmersdale perspective. Take your pick.
Yeah. Well, we'll do both. I'll briefly go over both. Stourbridge, for me, are well in the playoff race. They are actually the side that I think might sneak in there in the last few weeks of the season. Again, I keep saying this, but they're great going forward. Always capable of getting goals. Experience up there in Carl Hawley. Have had great cup runs this season. Very unlucky not to get through to the FA Cup third round. And then you look at Skelmersdale. It's normally the other way, isn't it, with Skelmersdale? Yes. They normally have a great first half of the season. Everyone thinks that they're going to get promoted and then all of a sudden drop away. It's going to have to be a reverse of that now, isn't it? They're going to have to really kick on second half of the season. But they've got a, it's another cliche, a wily old manager in Tommy Lawson there who you know, has plenty of experience and he knows what the league's about. And I can see what you mean about worrying for them, but I think they'll still have a couple of games in hand on everyone in the relegation zone. I think they'll pull away from that. And they've got plenty of quality in there. Goal scorers, again, a good goalkeeper. I think Skelmersdale will be all right, but they won't get anything at Stourbridge on Saturday.
There's two teams on the fringes of the relegation zone. We'll focus on one at a time. Marine against Barwell. Barwell, they're currently in seventh position. They're 5 points from the player positions. They've played a lot of games, though, haven't they?
Yeah.
Which is the complete opposite to Marine, who have played very little games this season.
Yeah, Marine have got sort of 3, 4 and 5 games in hand on everyone in the league, by the looks of it. You're hoping for Marine because they're one of the clubs that I think everyone likes in the league. They're a proper non-league club. They welcome you there with open arms. The hospitality is always great. And I would love to see them not have to go through what they did last year, where it was the great escape, won at Blyth on the last day of the season to stay up. Hopefully they won't need that this year. And to be honest, I don't think they will. I think a little bit of investment seems to have gone in. The manager's brought in a couple of new players and I can see them pulling away from that that relegation zone and finishing sort of 13th, 14th.
And the other team on the fringes is Michelover Sports. They played a lot of games more than everyone else. They're hosting Rushall Olympic this weekend. Rushall Olympic, they're fabulous, aren't they? They've been mid-table all the way through this, and then they've slowly started to string the results together.
Yeah, I think it's just maybe finding the feet, a few changes there in the summer in terms of the playing squad and just sort of getting used to the league. They've got a few players who haven't played Evo Stick League before. So I think they've just kind of found their feet gradually. And the good thing is they've all done it together. You know, there's not players progressing at different rates. They've all took their time and now they're getting into a bit of a routine together. And I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but they'll certainly improve on last year.
And lastly, when it comes to the relegation picture, there's this fixture here, Frickley Athletic against Ramsbottom United. Frickley comfortable in mid-table. I bet they're happy as Larry at the moment. You're on the other side of the Pennines. Whenever I interview people about Ramsbottom United on this side of the Pennines, I think there's always a bit of clouded judgment going on. From your impartial perspective from the Northumberland area, what's your view on Ramsbottom's chances this season?
It's a tough one. You know, they've got games to make, well, not as many games to make up now, but they're a club that, again, I enjoy going to and I would like them to stay up. But I'm just not sure they will. There's been a lot of turmoil this season with obviously the flood, and you just wonder what that's taken out of the playing squad. And a little bit like what's said about Darlington, where they haven't played for a while, mm-hmm. just getting back into that routine. Whereas Darlington aren't really in trouble. I think Ramsbottom could be. Again, I would love to see them stay up, but I'm just not sure they will. I don't think they're capable of catching anyone outside of the relegation zone.
The beautiful thing is, though, about the relegation zone, in the 3 years I've been doing this show, I don't remember the relegation zone being this engaged with the rest of the league. There's always been teams cut adrift at this point of the season who look doomed. Not so this season. There's light at the end of the tunnel for all four sides who are in that relegation zone at the minute, which makes it really fascinating.
I mean, what I think the league this year is, I don't think there is actually an outstanding team in the league, whereas in the past sort of 3 or 4 years, there always has been. There are good teams, there are very good teams, and there's poor teams, but I think it's just a lot of the same sort of teams in the league. And what you're seeing this year is a lot of teams winning. I'm saying teams a lot here, aren't I?
Yeah.
you're seeing a lot of, I'll say it again, a lot of teams winning games that you wouldn't expect them to, and a lot of surprise results. So it is going to be an exciting end of the season all the way through the league. And I can see the title race, the relegation battle, and probably the playoff spots going until the last day of the season.
But can you see the mid-table fight going to the last game of the season? At the moment, there's some, we mentioned Frickler, there's a few sides who are very comfortable at the moment. And again, I don't remember that it being so clear-cut when it comes to that team's going to finish in the mid-table pack this season. Yeah. Some of the matches, they're competing with one another on Saturday. Sutton Coldfield Town are hosting Ilkeston. You been surprised with Ilkeston?
It's been a difficult season, hasn't it? Obviously, a new manager went in, and then there's been a lot of changes since. Lost a big personality in Kevin Wilson last year, who I think obviously has been around the club since it reformed. I think this season was always going to be one of trying to find that stability and trying to see the season out without any dramas, which, you know, hopefully they will. As you say, they're comfortably mid-table, and I think they'll probably finish whereabouts they are now, sort of 12th, 11th, 12th, 13th.
And just to say, I'm not going to say it every time, but I think Sutton Coldfield have had a cracking season as well. Matlock Town, the last fixture, I think this one, Matlock Town against Hyde United. I remember interviewing the chairman for another podcast of Hyde United and said, where do you expect to finish this season? And I'm sure he said mid-table. He'd be happy with mid-table this season, just to steady the ship.
Yeah, I mean, it was a horrific relegation last year for them, wasn't it? And became a bit of a joke on social media, which is never nice to see. But again, as you correctly say, I think it's just a case of having a season of stability and nothing going awry, which it doesn't seem to be. They've obviously got a very good striker in Scott Spencer, who scored 16 this season. I dare say there'll be clubs in and around that area looking at him. But you know, they're not in danger of going down. They're not going to trouble the playoffs. It's probably what Mr. Chairman wants.
Exactly. So those are the fixtures for this weekend. Just to say, we mentioned Blyth Spartans against Salford City. There's a couple of other matches as well on Tuesday. Barwell are hosting Stourbridge. Rush Olympic are hosting Marine. And Skelmersdale United are hosting Ramsbottom United. And we should also say a big good luck to Nantwich Town against Bradford Park Avenue in the second round replay on Tuesday night in the FA Trophy. Nantwich have got a very good chance there, I think, at home.
They have, yeah. And of course, if they can get through, the Rustic League are guaranteed a team in the fourth round.
Exactly. So, Mark Carruthers, how can people keep abreast of all the latest goings on in the non-league world? It's a prolific Twitter feed, I've got to say. It's so useful, particularly if you're doing podcasts for different leagues. It's very useful, the non-league daily, I have to say.
Well, I just, you know, since I went in there, I've just wanted to try and make it open for people and not sort of shut anyone out. So there's the team, leagues from around the country that send us podcasts, the Northwest County do, and, you know, it's just one button, isn't it? Press retweet and you get it out to sort of heading on towards 10,000 followers on Twitter. But yep, on nonleaguedaily.com, we'll try and give equal coverage for everyone around the country, which is the way it should be. Everyone's in the same boat in non-league. And thanks for the coverage.
And it's like I said, folks, I'm not just saying this. It is a very, very good website as well as a very good Twitter feed. Matt Carruthers, the editor at the Non-League Daily, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra.
Thank you.
And now for your correspondence. Game of the day, as we highlighted earlier, is probably Nantwich Town against Blyth Spartans. And Johnny Crowther's been in touch to say top of the table clash at the Weaver Stadium. Nantwich need a big, big performance against Blyth Spartans. It will be a cracker of a game. Both sides play good attacking football. Nantwich to nick it by 2-1. From a Division 1 North perspective, New Mills are taking on Warrington this weekend, and Ryan James Bedard has been in touch to say New Mills versus Warrington, if it's on, he's expecting 3 points for the Wire. While Lloyd Berry, if Warrington don't come out with 3 points on Saturday... ... And then what follows is some Northwich Victoria fans playing mind games, and then Lloyd Berry quite admirably returning the mind games. It's quite fun to watch. You should all visit the Facebook group for that kind of thing. And while we're talking about Vicks fans, Vicks fan Philip Harrison has been in touch to say, after defeat at Warrington, then the departure of Jim Gannon, this Saturday's game at Ossett Albion is a huge test for Northwich Victoria. The boys have already regrouped and shown real team spirit in the impressive 5-1 away victory to Northwest County's table toppers Runcorn Linnets in the County Cup. Saturday starts a run of fixtures against teams in the top half of the league, so every game will be a big one. But if the squad is allowed to stay together, the quality and what they learn under Jim should be enough to maintain a decent second half of the season up the Vicks. And Jonathan Wood has been in touch from a Scarborough perspective. Jonathan Wood says, after 8 straight league defeats for Scarborough, I'm not prepared to predict any points, but we want, nay, desperately need, all 3 of them against Prescott. A draw between Radcliffe and Harrogate Railways would be a bonus as well. Anthony McNeish, hopefully a game will be on for Spennymoor against Clitheroe away. Too many games lost to the weather, indeed. But correspondence of the week goes to John Booth, who's been in touch with this cracking piece of correspondence, which I shall now read out now. 3 or 4 more players to leave the club, a plague of locusts, Ewan Field to be struck by a freak bolt of lightning and burnt to the ground, and Matlock to put 10 past us. Half-time pitch invasion by vampire zombie sheep who bite the remaining 7 players and bring our roller coaster season to a thrilling climax. Roll on next season. To be fair, John, I would love 26-0 to commentate on a match like that. I think Berkey would shine. And that, dear listener, is this week's wall of correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall filled with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. No extra next week. Instead, we've got the return of the Evo Stick MPL show. Yes, we'll be back at the Magnet next Wednesday evening for the usual fun of the fair, which you can all hear on Friday afternoon next week. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/ the NPL. Don't forget as well to check Twitter, the league website, your club's website, as well as the NPL Facebook group on Saturday morning, just to make sure that your match is definitely on Saturday afternoon. But that's it from me for this week's show. A big thanks to all my guests for joining me, and thank you, dear listener, for joining me as well. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.